Hi, welcome back to Redeem the Commute. It's Thursday, and so today's the day we try to put into practice what we've been exploring all week. And this week we've been exploring Jesus' command, where he began, "You've heard it said to love your neighbors and hate your enemies, but I say to you, love your neighbors and your enemies." The way that the scribes and Pharisees, the religious teachers of Jesus' day, had been presenting this was love your neighbors and hate your enemies. The hate your enemies part they'd added in. But the whole thing was kind of a non-commandment anyway. Those are the people that it's easy to love. The people you have to see every day, the people who are of the same religion, the same ethnicity, the same fairly tight-knit family. It's kind of a non-commandment. While the scribes and Pharisees were teaching a commandment that anyone could accomplish, Jesus was busy teaching a commandment that no one could accomplish, at least on their own. But Jesus very clearly wanted his followers to show their love for their neighbors and their enemies in three very distinct ways. In what they did, in what they said, and in what they said to God. In terms of deeds, he said, "Do good to those who do good to you and those who intend evil." That's a high standard. In terms of words and words to God, he said, "Call down blessing. Pray for those who persecute you. Ask for blessings for them, even when they want nothing but harm for you." Jesus wants us to love others with a divine, godly love. And that's an indiscriminate love. God, as creator and father of all, basically loves us like a father. And Jesus is saying that's the kind of love that he's demonstrating in his life and wanting us to follow. And it's a hard love to have for others, especially others who are hurting you or who intend to hurt you. He's not calling us to love others like human beings love each other. He's calling us to love others like God loves us. What makes that hard is that our human experiences of love are generally tainted. They're generally corrupted by something because we're all fallen, broken, sinful human beings. Because of that, our ability to love like God is now broken. Generally, our expressions of love have some degree of self-interest or self-fulfillment. But to love our enemies requires a huge amount of discipline, requires us to go above and beyond. It requires the kind of depth of love and compassion and transformation in our hearts that none of us can affect on our own. But God can. The Holy Spirit working in us can make that happen. Can transform our hearts from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh that love, that are warm rather than cold. That's the kind of love we're being called to by Jesus. And he doesn't just drop that on us and leave us there to figure it out for ourselves, but rather he offers us his assistance 24/7 through his Holy Spirit working in us to transform our hearts. Jesus isn't setting an impossible standard here that he's going to leave us to figure out on our own. Rather, he sets an impossible standard for us that is possible for him, that forces us to rely on him and not our own strength. Jesus is talking about the kind of love that requires perfection. And none of us is perfect, but we're going to look next week at that topic to understand a bit about how God intends to make us perfect. So in summary, what Jesus is saying is do no evil to your enemies and don't avenge just to get back at what they've done to you. Rather, to love them and want the best for them. To want them to know God in the way you know God so that transforms their hearts as well. For them to experience that same transformation through the Holy Spirit that turned you from whatever evil, whatever sin was part of your life. It all begins with prayer. And a Christian from long ago named Chrysostom once said this, "Praying for our enemies is the highest summit of self-control." It does take some incredible discipline and self-control to pray for those who want evil for us, to ask for God's blessing when they want nothing but God's curses and vengeance on us. And yet it's what Jesus invites us to do for our enemies. He wants us to do good and speak good for them, But he gives us a third way that actually might help us get there. Talk to God about them. Pray for them. If you can't quite bring yourself to do something good for them yet, or to say anything nice to them, start practicing with God, asking God to bless them, to do good for them, to speak into their lives his words of salvation. From there, he'll be warming your heart to give you that ability to do good and to speak well of them. This is not at all an easy thing to do. But we have a great example in Jesus himself. He did this. While he was dying on the cross, some of his dying words were, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." The very people who were killing him, who were actively torturing and executing him, were also the object of his mercy and his love and his prayer to God. So that's your challenge for today, to pray. Pray for your enemies. When you're ready, yes, do good for them. But start with prayer. And let that love begin to grow and spill into your deeds and words. Well, that's your challenge for today. Have a great discussion about this if you're working with a group, but also putting it into practice. I pray that God will do something great in your life. I'll see you tomorrow when we take time to reflect and pray about this. Bye for now.